understand this couple went over to visit Pastor John and Christine one Saturday night. And they were doing a little fellowship, a little cookout. And Christine was sitting in there with this couple. And Walker had his, it's been some time ago, had his little toys out. And Pastor John was doing some cooking. He came through, walking through the house, and he said, "Walker, you need to get those toys up." He said, "We got people. You wouldn't want anybody falling over." About 5 minutes later, Pastor John come back through the house, and the toys were still there. He said, "Walker," I said, "get the toys up." About 5 minutes later, he came back through, and the toys were still there. And he got real loud. He said, "Walker," I said, "get the toys up and get them up now." And I understand Walker just started to cry, broke his little heart. And Pastor John left the room, and he went over to Christine, and she dried his tears up, and he said, "Mom, can I sit on your lap?" She said, "Sure, son, come on, get on my lap." And he said, "Can I ask you one question?" And she said, "Sure." He said, "How in the world have you lived with that man all these years?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not on tape, is it? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. One other quick announcement. Where's my sunshine? I see her back there. The women's meeting will take place tonight. I know they're out of town, but it will take place tonight. And I encourage you not only to... while they're on vacation or when they're absent. But I encourage you to pray for our pastor every single day. You need to pray for his family every day. And people come into the house of God and never pray for the pastor expecting to get something. You've got to pour something into them. And so that encourages them, and God gives them strength to pour back into us. Okay. You have our scriptures up? Oh, no. I'm going to speak to you. I was going to aggravate you. I was telling my brother back here, I was going to aggravate you and tell you that, those of you who don't know, my name is Ken. I'm actually a pastor in a black church. I don't even like that word. I hate the word. As my brother and I were sharing, God only sees one color, and that's red, and that's his blood. I love that church, and I was going to tell you, it's in Abbeville, South Carolina, that we're on Abbeville time today. Our average service down there in that church lasts about 3 hours. So, but don't nobody panic. We're not going to be here. But do keep me in prayer. I'll be pastoring there on the 22nd. Love that church. I love that church. Karen and I don't know how many years we spent, 5 or 6 years in that church. And I love it's Pastor Brenda Lomax, also woman of God. We love her very much. But I'm going to speak to you today, if you got your Bible, and I think they have them up, it's verses Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. I know it's up there. I'm going to read it because I'm used to ministering from the Amplified Bible. But it says, "Deliver those who are drawn away to death, and those who totter to the slaughter, hold them back from their doom." Verse 12, "If you profess ignorance and say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' then he who weighs and ponders the hearts perceive and consider it. And he who guards your life, does he not know it? And he shall not render to you, and he shall render to you every man according to his works." I want to concentrate on verse 11 this morning. And I want to read some statistics to you. I've got them over here. That I hope when I preached this message years ago, it literally changed my life. Today, and then these statistics may have changed a little bit and they probably got worse. There are 125,000 people a day tottering to the slaughter without Jesus Christ. There are 9 times more people on the earth today than when Jesus gave this command over 2,000 years ago. There are 138 more thousand people in the world today than there was yesterday. There are 1 million more people on the earth today than there was last Sunday. If you ask all of those people tottering to the slaughter to join hands and hold hands, they would circle the entire globe. And it grows at the rate of 20 miles a day. If we could stop all the births and all the deaths right now, and at the rate that believers are winning people to the Lord, it would take 100 years. People are tottering to the slaughter. It's nothing but a soul that's suffering. They're screaming, they're yelling, they're hollering because they're on the way to the slaughter. And see, there's no way that anybody's going to be won on this earth today except through us. When Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Guys, I'm getting ready to check out of here. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father." When he left, his work on this earth was finished, but our work just begun. It is up to us to continue the gospel of the kingdom and deliver it. And one thing that Jesus told us to do, he said, go and teach the gospel. In Matthew, I think is what, chapter 9, verse 35. It may surprise you, but most of Jesus' ministry did not take place in the synagogue or the temple. It took place in the streets. It says he went about preaching and teaching the gospel and healing all nature of sickness and disease. And that's what we're supposed to do. I thank God for the outreach of this ministry to go into the street. And it's a corporate act, but we as individuals need to get a hold to this message today and to keep someone from tottering to the slaughter. Okay. In Ezekiel, I'm going to read three scriptures out of the book of Ezekiel. It's chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19. In verse 17, it says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give thee a warning from me." Verse 18, "If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and if you do not give him warning or speak to warning to the wicked to turn from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hands." And I'm going to tell you something today. I don't know who all I'm ministering to. But when I walked in here today, I probably had blood on my hands. But when I leave here today, my hands are going to be white as snow. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm speaking out of John 8:32. "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Verse 19. "If you witness to the wicked and he turns not from his wickedness and his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." What he does with it is really not your business. The key is that we have got to witness. Listen, you either know a coworker or a friend or a family member or somebody who doesn't know Christ. And if you can say that you don't, you need to turn to Revelation 21:8, and it'll give you your destination. And it says there'll be no liars in heaven. You know, the world has become a wicked messenger. If it feels good, do it. That's what our world is telling us. It's my life. I can do with it what I want. It's okay to murder an unborn child. And y'all don't even want this man of God to go there with you today. But I will say this, there's no such thing as pro-choice. It's pro-life and it's pro-first-degree murder. And I can back that up in the Word of God. And I will say, if you're a lady in this house today, and if you've ever had an abortion, there's forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you talk about choice, upon conception, that young child has a separate DNA. Although he may be in your body, he is separate from you. And if you want to abort him, and you're talking about choice, how about his choice or her choice? They never had a chance. And if you think that being a faithful messenger is what God is calling us to do, doesn't make a difference. Karen was executive director at a Chrysler's pregnancy center in Greenwood. The greatest joy she got, it wasn't about her salary or her money, was to have a young girl to come in, determined to have an abortion, and through witness and ministry that she left and was going to keep her baby. And you know, a faithful messenger brings great healing. And God showed me this when we're talking about reaching those who are tottering to the slaughter. You cannot witness to somebody being just like they are. I cannot go sit on a bar stool and have a beer with somebody and witness to an alcoholic. You can't do that. You can, but it's not effective. You can't talk to someone about a filthy mouth that it's the wrong thing to do and you got one yourself. You can't be talking, a father talking to his children, well, you shouldn't be doing drugs, you shouldn't be doing that, and he's doing it himself. God's looking for some faithful ministers and messengers. We're all ministers, whether you like it or not. You are a minister. In Proverbs 13:20, it said, "He who walks as a companion with the wise is a wise man, but he who associates with a self-confident fool is a fool himself and shall smart for it." In other words, he's going to be held responsible. And you know something? I believe, even believers, we've been lulled to sleep. But Jesus wasn't. When he came to this earth, his main goal was to see lost people come to Christ and to have an eternal life with him. And in Isaiah 14:9, this is the scripture that just ripped my heart out and changed my life. It says, "Hail beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. When a new person stumbles to the slaughter, when they stumble into eternity unprepared, the Bible says demon spirits awaken. They are so weak that they awaken those who are in hell, and they go to the gates of hell and watch the people entering in." I would hate to think that I was a father who told my son, "It's your life. You can live it like you want to. You can go to God on your terms. It doesn't make any difference." And that dad dies and unfortunately would go to hell. And if his son never changed his ways of living, when he entered that place according to the word of God, his father would be awakened to go greet him when he comes in. I can't imagine that. A mother or a father ministering to a child or a brother or a sister. And they followed our influence. And if we happen to go to hell, you're going to be awakened to greet them when they get there. That's so sad. And you know what? It says that even kings and presidents and leaders, if they don't bow their knee and accept Jesus Christ, that's where they're going. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much education you have. On that day, the only thing that's going to matter is your soul. Does it belong to God or does it belong to the devil? Money won't help you. Fame's not going to help you. Prestige is not going to help you. And I'm going to tell you something. It is impossible to read this book and know that Jesus was not moved with compassion. He went to a man named Zacchaeus up in a tree, said, come down from there. Salvation has come to your home today. He was so moved that he walked 36 miles to minister to a Samaritan woman who was living in a bad lifestyle, been married several times, living with her lover. In other words, she was shacking up with her boyfriend. And Jesus said, she's important to me. Of all the people, I'm going to go to her. I know she's got sin. I know there's things in her life, but she's worth me going to and me ministering to. And that's the attitude we need to take when it comes to knowing people who don't know Jesus Christ. And I've heard this said so many times. It's called the greatest crime ever committed known to mankind is exactly what we're doing, to know the truth and never tell it. And this crime is not being committed by criminals. It's being committed by believers. We get so complacent sitting in the church. We go out. And I guarantee you, like I said before, everybody knows somebody that doesn't know the salvation that we know. And it's up to us. Because if you don't share it, it says the blood is on your hands. And I've heard people say, well, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to be wrong. Well, who are you trying to please, man or God? I tell you what, I made a decision a long time ago. You can't please man and God. I think it's Matthew 6:24. You either hate one or love the other, but you can't serve two gods. And I've heard people say, well, I'm just a little ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, we're talking about being wrong or being pushy. And we heard these statements before. And here's what's so sad. A prostitute can enter a major airport and people will identify with her immediately. Someone with an alternative lifestyle can enter an airport and be identified immediately. A Christian can walk into an airport and nobody knows it. What a shame. When we walk into a room, it should change the atmosphere. Because I'm going to tell you something. My sunshine sitting back here. What's your first name? Deanna? When she comes into this house, it changes the atmosphere. All of us should be like that. And you know something? The only thing that's going to fix the problem that we're in, it's only going to fix it, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to fix America. That's the only thing that's going to fix or stop a drug addict or an alcoholic from being what they are. It's the only thing that's going to stop a man from beating his wife. It's the only thing that can direct a father to be a father to his children, or a mother to be a mother to her children. The answer is in the Word of God. And I'm going to go back to verse 19 for just a minute. It says, yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he shall surely die in his iniquity. But you have been delivered yourself. And when I read this and I research this scripture, it means that there are a lot of bloody hands. And this verse tells us that there's going to be people who are going to stand before God Almighty one day with bloody hands. Because they weren't on fire enough. They weren't bold enough. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost enough. They did not have the compassion to be a witness that God wants us to be. And I'm going to make a very bold statement right here. It is time for preachers, evangelists, and teachers to get out of this weak gospel and get in this book right here. I made a promise to God a long time ago. If I can't preach the truth, I'll get out of the ministry. I will never go preach at a church where a pastor says, well, you can say this and you can say that. I will turn around and walk out. We've got to have the truth preached. And let me tell you, it says, our joy and happiness, that is important, but that's not really the purpose of Christianity. The purpose of Christianity is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe upon him, we will not perish, but we'll have ever-turning life. In this message, God instructed me to come today with a warning for every person that it's time for the backslider to come home. It's time for every man and woman and teenager under the sound of my voice to get our eyes sanctified, to get our hearts circumcised, to get our ears anointed, to get our mouth anointed, to be the mouthpiece for God. Because I'm going to tell you what, I cannot imagine to go to hell and have to greet my sons or my daughters. I can't imagine that. And on this earth, one thing that is all worth living for me, is my beautiful wife, Karen, my three children, 8 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. They're worth living for. They're worth being bold about this gospel for. It's nothing to be playing around with. It's a very, very serious matter. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be like the world. God said we're separate, we're a peculiar people, and we need to act like that. You see Christians compromising and compromising and compromising. They living just like the world. Partying just like the world. Getting drunk just like the world. Getting divorced just like the world. Well, I don't want to be like the world. I'm different. And we all should be different. And there's an anointing in this house, I'm telling you. And I believe there's anointing and there's a divine authority in this house this morning that's piercing through the darkness and telling us to get the blinders off and quit playing with our soul and the soul with others. Because I said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? This is somebody's destiny moment this morning. To make a decision to be God's child or to be the enemy's child. And I know this is not a jump down shout message, but it's a message that needs to be preached. And I share with Pastor John, I have been preparing quite a few messages, and sometimes the Holy Spirit just makes me so mad. I've prepared about 6 or 7 messages, and he said, put them up. I said, my God, where are we going now? And I've been instructed, and I told Pastor John, this message was on my heart. I was going to preach it today. And so he's instructed me to preach about the blood. We don't really understand the blood. Without the blood, we all would be doomed. Without the blood, there would be no salvation. Without the blood, there would be no healing. But I love you today, and I hope that somebody's life may have been stirred this morning to realize I need to do more than I'm doing. Because I could put a mirror right here in front of Ken and preach it to myself every day. I don't have to look at anybody. I could preach it right to me because I need to hear it. And I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm going to ask you to take your right hand. I want you to put it on your heart. And I'm going to ask you to repeat something after me. It says, "Oh God, I'm not ashamed to be a witness. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So Lord, I will share my story. I will pray and intercede for my lost family and friends. When the door opens, I will boldly speak up and tell what Jesus has done for me. Oh Lord, use me. If I stop one soul from stumbling to the slaughter, my life will have great meaning and purpose. In Jesus' name." And I want to end this. It was something as Karen and I had talked about it. But I want to encourage you, and this has nothing to do, it may have to do with a message. I'm going to encourage you to begin to pray the Word of God. And I don't pray like most people do. I've been taken to the woodshed so many times by the Holy Spirit, or the potter's wheel, or what you want to call it. And it's no fun going there. He took me there one day and told me I didn't even know how to pray. I got so mad with him. Listen, if you're mad with God and you go to God, you've been a hypocrite. Tell him you're mad at him. He wants somebody to come to him telling the truth. But I encourage you to pray the Word. And I'm not going to get into deep into the story, but the only thing that I prayed when I had cancer, and I've learned when the Holy Spirit took me to the woodshed again, he said, "You're asking for too much stuff." I said, "What do you mean I'm asking?" He said, "Ask me for something." And this is in my spirit. And I said, "Well, how about if I got a need?" He said, Philippians 4:19. I said, "What if I'm fearful?" He said, Isaiah 41:10. And I said, "How about healing?" He said, Isaiah 53:5. And I said, "I'm going to throw a hard one at him." I said, "How about debt and finance?" He said, Proverbs 22:7, Romans 13:8, Matthew 6:24. I said, "I'm going to shut up." And he showed me that God has sent everything he's got. There's nothing more for him to send. And there's three things about the Word of God. You've got to know it. You've got to believe it. That's the first two. And y'all have heard me say this before. You can know it and believe it till the cows come home. But unless you apply it to your life, it is useless. Every night when I had a big mass of cancer in my neck, I never asked Jesus to heal me. Because if you read Isaiah 53:5, it says, "By his stripes we are." And when I think of Kenzie, you know, she got the ultimate healing. She got the ultimate healing. And every night, I knew I didn't have to ask him. 99% of my prayer life is thanksgiving. And this is a gospel truth. I only ask for one thing. I ask for forgiveness of sin. I don't ask him to bless my food. I thank him. I thank him for everything. I don't have to ask him for anything. Lay my hand on that big mass of cancer. I had 6 hours of chemo at that time, and it was my 10th radiation treatment. Laid my hand on that big knot. "Jesus, I thank you for my healing." Went to bed. Woke up the next morning. It was totally gone. Overnight. Which my radiation doctor did not want to believe that. His name was Dr. Funky, and he was. He came in and I didn't see him every day. I normally just seen the technician, but he came in that day and he grabbed my neck. He said, "My God," I said, "you got that right." And he said, "Well, I don't know what you believe." I said, "I know what I believe, but you don't know what you believe." And we had a good bit We didn't shout at each other, but I think he knew who I stood, and I let him know I knew where he stood, that my God took it away. And I encourage you, I know the pastor, we've talked about it, pray the word. You cannot go wrong praying the word. If I pray for someone to be healed, I'm simply praying the word. Amen. Come on up, my brother. I hope I haven't bored you this morning. But God's a good God, and he loves us very much.
I'm glad you went there, because I've been wanting to come up and share this. In 2005, I took a test just before I was supposed to go to Afghanistan. And the next morning after I took the test, the doctors called me in and told me my heart was damaged. They didn't know why, but they found out later on that it was Agent Orange from Vietnam. They told me that my heart, that your heart is one of those things in your body that doesn't regenerate. So it's damaged, it's done, you're done. At that time, the output in my heart was less than 38%. The normal body is 55 or better. And they told me that if I did everything they told me, my heart would get back maybe to 40. But I would always have the problem of having a weak heart. And, you know, the blood is the life force that you walk in every day. And so I went and took a test here not too long ago. I've had two catheterizations. I've had a stent put in. I've done everything they told me to do. I went and took a test here about 4 weeks ago, Mama, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and they came back and told me my heart was at 20%, and it was not getting better, okay? And so I'm thinking, no, that doesn't sound right. Something just wasn't right. So I had a cardiologist appointment already with the VA doctor, and she looked at me and she said, George, she said, if you're not having any chest pains, if there's nothing happening to you, that can't be right. There's something wrong. So she made me take another test. And I took a test that's nuclear. So if I glow a little, don't feel funny. And it's supposedly the most accurate test that a person can take to find out what the condition of their heart is. My heart is well. I am now over 52% and getting stronger. And I believe that is, like you say, I didn't have to do anything. I just know in whom I have believed. And I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything that I've given to him, he is able to control and hold on to until the day he calls me home. Now, if I could drop dead tomorrow, that really doesn't really matter, because today I am whole because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And because, like you say, every day I just get up and say, hey, praise the Lord for another day and go on. You know, so he's there every moment of my life. He's there with my children, oldest to the youngest. You know, am I in need of, what do you call it, improvement? Absolutely. Anybody that knows me knows that I have a certain vein that might need to be cut out, but that's okay. I'm working on it, and so is he. So praise the Lord, and I thank him that he's healed my heart, because they tell me that it couldn't be done. Yeah. Anything can be done if you're trusting in him.
Amen. I have people that ask me, I said, is your cancer in remission? I said, my God don't know nothing about remission unless it's in regard to sin. Amen. Does anybody have anything you want to share or say? Floor's open. Okay. Since you come in, my brother, thank you that you're here. I'm going to go for 30 more minutes. No, I'm just kidding. If you're around me long, you know that I like to cut up. And if Lisa was here, I definitely would have nailed her this morning. We've been in a restaurant, and it's a long story, but we tell them that Chris is my son, and Lisa is my mother. We have a lot of fun with Lisa and Chris. But I thank you for coming today, and please, as I said, begin to pray the word. Really, when we come into this house and this worship is going on, the best way to get healed, delivered, and set free is in the middle of worship. Because that's what we were created to do. And keep Pastor John in your prayers. And just pour into him, because I'm going to end with this little story. this dad, they were going home from church, and his little children was in the back seat, and about giving in and getting out. But the dad was saying, God, that pastor, he is so dry. He said, I didn't understand the word that man said. And that doggone praise and worship team sang that song 6 times. Didn't they know I had to, after about the second time, don't they know I knew what they were saying? And the little girl in the back seat, his daughter, said, Dad, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. She said, what did you expect for just a dollar? Amen. That's the story, you know. The $100 bill goes from all around the world. The $50 bill goes to finest restaurants, and the dollar says I go from church to church to church. But I'm gonna close with prayer. I love you. Appreciate you all very much. And Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, we recognize who you are this day. And God, it's time we recognize who we are in you. And I thank you, God, for the anointing to minister your word. And I pray, God, that you be with everyone under the sound of my voice. God, I speak healing, I speak deliverance, whatever is needed. And I pray, God, that if there's sickness in this place today, I pray, God, that when they leave here today, it's all over with. Because you said, by your stripes we are healed and made whole. I ask you to go with us as we go. God, give us safe travel wherever we may go. And God, I just ask you to keep us strong in your faith. And God, that we would be bold, open our mouth, an anointed mouth, and speak to those that are tottering to the slaughter. We love you this day, and we thank you, God, that we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us. You have appointed us. You've planted us to go and bear fruit. And you said, God, that fruit would last forever, and whatever we ask in your name believing, you said you would give it to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.